back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, May 28th, 8:05 Central Time, which means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Kevin Werner from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Mantino, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Werner. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. How about you, Andy?
I'm doing well, thanks. Say, tell us about Risen Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mantino, Illinois.
Sure. Our congregation, we're about located about 40 miles south of Chicago, right on Interstate 57. We were founded in 1990, and so we're about 24 years old, not quite. We recently, finally after many years, we're able to build a new building, build a new church, and that's where we are worshiping right now. We did that last year, and so it's kind of an exciting time for our congregation right now.
Well, wonderful. Did you see me on Monday? I drove right by on Monday morning or Monday afternoon. I was right on I-57, so I don't know if you saw me or not.
I don't know. I might have missed you on that on Monday. I might have slept late or something.
Yeah, it was Monday afternoon. Now, right off of I-57, I don't know if I saw it or not. Can you see it from the highway?
If you know where you're looking. Yeah, if you're familiar with our congregation, yeah, we're pretty, less than half a mile from I-57. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, very good. We are in Luke chapter 16 this morning, verses 19 through 31. We're going to take a look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus here in just a little bit. Any background you'd like to give us on the text before we dig in?
I think it's an interesting text. It teaches, a number of important lessons, I believe. There's always been a debate about it, whether it was a parable told by Jesus or whether it, expresses reality. I know commentators have differed on that. I think it's just a very interesting text.
Absolutely. A rich man and Lazarus. So we'll dig into the text here in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Before we dig in, I want to invite our listeners to email or call your questions in today, 314-821-0850. That's 314-821-0850, or toll free 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions to kfuo@kfuo.org as we're digging into Luke chapter 16 this morning. Shall I read the first few verses for us before start to dig in?
Sure, that'd be great.
All right, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. So before we get much further into the text, this is setting the scene. A rich man clothed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day. What does this tell us about this man?
Tells us that he was, enjoyed many of the blessings of this world. He was dressed in purple, a royal color. He also had fine linen, perhaps underneath, kind of as an undergarment. And he feasted sumptuously. All of us enjoy a nice feast, a good meal. So he did this frequently. He enjoyed all the good things that this world has to offer, it would seem.
So he enjoys all the things of this world. And then we see Lazarus, a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores.
Yeah, totally opposite. I mean, just the other extreme. Here's a man who, has nothing. I mean, is laid at the gate, does not feast sumptuously, and instead is thrilled to get what falls off the rich man's table. So helpless is he that he can't even prevent the dogs from licking his sores. If you think about, the worst situation in this world, that would be about it. I'm two very different people with different circumstances, from the viewpoint of the world. But what I think is interesting, and maybe we'll get there too, is the rich man is simply called the rich man, but the beggar is given a name. I think that's important as well.
I notice, I can't help but think of when I hear crumbs from the rich man's table and dogs in the same story, I can't help think of the story of the, I believe it's the Samaritan woman who I believe was talking with Jesus talking about eating the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and Jesus says, I can't remember the exact text now, about
Jesus lauds her faith because she said, Jesus refers to, him coming for the lost sheep of Israel, I believe, or for Israel, and she said, well, even to the dogs, receive the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and then Jesus lauds and praises her faith. There's a good connection and parallel there.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just breadcrumbs and dogs suddenly come up again.
Yeah, as we're going to see, Lazarus was, even though he received nothing in this world, he received everything in the life to come. So kind of similar to that woman as well. Who illustrated great faith at that moment.
And then the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Now, before we get too much further, this is probably the part where commentators go their different ways. That would be my guess.
Right.
Because now he starts talking about life after our life on earth, after death. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Yeah. Where is Abraham's side?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think some commentators see that as, as a metaphor to next to the feast, the feast in heaven, that Abraham's side is literally a place of honor, maybe contrasting with Lazarus's life in this world, where he certainly enjoyed no place of honor, that now he is, in Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom. Perhaps it's a reference to just eternal bliss. I think that's exactly where they, why some believe this is a parable, a story. Others believe it, it speaks of reality, whereas, I think why many commentators believe this, expresses a real situation is that in no other parable is someone given a name, and in this case, Lazarus is obviously named, which I think is important to the whole account as well, because even though he received nothing good in this life, yet because he was named, he was known by God, he received, all the joys of eternity. So that he was named, that seems to indicate that it expresses a real situation, whereas, some of the other facts might, or parts of the story, the narrative might, indicate, maybe this is a parable. And so, I think that's why commentators have come down on either side of that choice.
Mm-hmm. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. This is where I think it gets challenging, because he's in Hades, which most of us would consider to be hell, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that word, I think it's Sheol, in Hades, literally, in the Greek, that term in the Old Testament can be more of a general term for afterlife, I believe. But clearly, I mean, I think from the context, he's in hell, he's in torment. This is, where it comes a little bit challenging, whether it's a parable or whether it's, expressing reality.
So in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. This seems to indicate, if it's reality, it seems to indicate from hell, those in hell can see those in heaven.
It would, and is that part of their torment? I mean, that they can, they're on the outside looking in, which is a biblical concept, I think, and they're, you know, the concept of hell, you know, that he can, you know, the rich man can see, you know, all the joys that Lazarus and the blessed are receiving. Maybe that's part of his hell, you know, that he can see it, but can't taste it, can't experience it himself. I mean, you know, that would be literal hell, I would think, to be able to, you know, to see the party but not be invited to the party.
Mm-hmm. So he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. He looks up. So it's obviously he lifted up his eyes. That implies that he's looking up. So it's not on the same plane. It's above him.
And this is maybe where we get our idea that, you know, hell is down and heaven is up. I mean, you know, from a human perspective, that maybe helps us to understand the differences and the two very different places.
Well, and most references to Sheol or hell or Hades quite often say down into Sheol, down into the pit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think sometimes when that reference is used specifically in the Old Testament, can mean afterlife, just general life after death as we understand it. But other times in the Old Testament as well, that can mean, you know, reference to literal hell. And I think that's clearly the case here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a place that like you said, it's reference to a place that is down. Maybe that helps our understanding, you know, of what hell is.
Sure, and tomorrow we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and ascension into heaven, and we confess that in the Creed. He ascended into heaven.
Yeah, so it shows the opposite direction of, you know, Jesus went up, obviously, ascended into heaven. We often think of, you know, heaven as being up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the exact opposite would be hell, which is down. You know, in the Creed too, we confess he descended into hell. You know, very different than obviously he ascended. So, it shows that the two very different places. You know, after this life in this world is ended.
Verse 24, and he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." So he calls out from Hades to Father Abraham to have mercy on me and send Lazarus to give me some water to cool me off. I'm in anguish in this flame.
Yeah, I found it interestingly ironic that the same tongue in this world, namely the rich man's, that tasted, you know, the best wines and the coolest refreshment and the finest foods in hell is in utter torment. I mean, you know, he who received good things in this life, no doubt because of his unbelief, you know, his received, you know, eternal wrath and torment. I mean, burning. I mean, if you've ever been burned, I mean, I can't even imagine having your tongue burned, you know, in that significant of way. I guess we've all burned our tongue on something hot, perhaps, but, you know, if you've ever been burned, I mean, what a horrible experience and horrible pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is that why Jesus uses, you know, this idea of fire as well, speaking of the torment that those who are in hell, you know, experience.
I think of the Luther movie from early 2000s. I don't know if you saw that film or not. The Johann Tetzel character. Do you remember that? Did you see that movie?
Is that the one that Thrivent put out?
Yes, yeah. They supported that work. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, remember John Tetzel sticks his hand in the fire and melts his flesh? As part of the, trying to describe the pains of hell and to bring in more indulgences, he demonstrates the pain of burning a hand, you know, burning flesh, the lengths he went to that character went to demonstrate the pains of hell. So, and if you think about it, as you were describing too, yeah, if you've ever gotten a burn, and that lingering pain that just goes on and on for some time, that that burning and what hell must be like, what Hades here must be like, and so he begs for water, have mercy on me, send Lazarus to just to dip the end of his finger in water, just a little bit of water, even
just a tiny bit of mercy. You know, the torment. I mean, it just grieves, you know, anyone to think of, you know, that experience. I mean, that anyone would experience that, and justly, you know, they ought, those who disbelieve, but you know, just the utter torment of hell, you know, and it's never ending, and fire is obviously something that we can understand, I mean, it's just a, you know, horrible place of wrath and judgment.
I find it interesting also that he calls out to Father Abraham, not to God, but to Abraham. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to do this.
Yeah, that is. I mean, obviously Abraham is a father, you know, you know, all of Israel claimed. He was the one whom God, you know, gave the promise, you know, not only of a Messiah, but of land. And he became, you know, obviously very important to Jews. And, you know, how often did Jesus say, you know, was it in John chapter 8, don't say that you, you know, don't claim that you can say Abraham is our father, for I can, or that you are children of Abraham, for I can make, you know, children out of stones, I believe, or whatever. But, you know, Abraham is this very important person to the first century Jew, you know, to the religious establishment of the day. And so, you know, is that why, you know, Jesus references Abraham here?
And he calls out to Father Abraham. Well, we have listeners all around the world, 43 countries today, including Argentina, Portugal, and India, and 43 U.S. states, including folks in Boston, Massachusetts, Birmingham, Michigan, and Burbank, California. So some folks are enjoying listening this morning online, and some folks listening here in St. Louis, including Mike. Let's go to Mike, who is on the listener line. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, I kind of recognize a lot in the story because, you know, I used to pass this. I don't go up North County anymore, but there's a Jewish cemetery up there, and I think what Jesus, I think the rich man is really supposed to be Caiaphas. It's a satire, but in this parable, but you know, they have a practice that's called Kaddish, where they pray for 11 months for a person that's dead, because a dead person can't praise God, you know, and in Judaism they have set prayers. They don't have individual prayers, and he would be, the rich man would want Lazarus to go back to his brothers, because since they're actually physically alive, they could actually praise God and say this prayer, the Kaddish, which is always in Aramaic. And then the angels could cross the abyss and they could give him water, at least relieve his torment. And then after 1 year, he's automatically released. But of course, I realize the story doesn't say this kind of stuff in it. But I mean, if a Jewish rabbi was actually to look at this story, he would tell you that he's not in an eternal hell, because if he was, his ashes, he'd be lifeless ashes in heaven, and they'd be like scattered in heaven so that people could walk on them.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Mike.
All right, bye.
Pastor, any thoughts on that?
You know, interesting, what the a Jewish person today, how he might see that. Yeah, I'm not sure that, you know, yeah, obviously as Christians, we're looking at it a bit differently. But yeah.
And that would be perhaps speculation, looking at it, implying more on the text than what's actually there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think whether parable or reality, I mean, the point of the, you know, the text, I think, is different. I think it speaks to, you know, one that just because you receive good things in this life doesn't mean that you are blessed for eternity. I mean, the rich man certainly proved that. Also of the, you know, eternal torment, as we talked about, of hell, you know, that ought to, you know, arise fear in those who do not believe, but also the, you know, the eternal bliss of the redeemed. I mean, that also should be part of this here as well, you know. And I always, you know, find it interesting that the irony maybe of the last statement that, the rich man, you know, tells, you know, if only you can send someone to my family. And of course, the response is, well, they won't believe even if someone rises from the dead. I mean, I have to believe that's a reference to Jesus himself.
Sure. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the daily lectionary. We're right around verse 25 right now in Luke chapter 16. So stick around, listeners, as we continue to study the daily lectionary with the Reverend Kevin Werner from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Manteno, Illinois. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, KFUO@KFUO.org. Stick around for more study of the Daily Lectionary on His Time on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
At a memorial service for victims of a 22-year-old man's weekend rampage in California, a message was read from parents of one of the killer's slain roommates to their departed son.
You will be at peace in the hands of God. In your 20 and 10 months of life, we saw God's love and spiritual fruits in you. You are gentle, kind, loving, joyful, peaceful, faithful, and self-controlled.
The parents of Weihan Wang, who went by the name of David, concluded,
"Let us pray for everyone who lost their loved ones, including the young man who killed our son. Goodbye for now, until we see you in heaven."
Their message was read by Richard Martinez, whose son Christopher also was among the victims. 7 young people died, including the killer. I'm Steve Coleman.
The Pope recently visited the Middle East to commemorate the 50th anniversary of a meeting between the leaders of the Western and Eastern Church. Did the media miss this fact? Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Terry Mattingly of Get Religion about media coverage of Pope Francis's trip to the Middle East.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Luke chapter 16 this morning, verses 19 through 31, about ready to pick up at verse 25. Our guest pastor on the phone this morning is the Reverend Kevin Werner from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Manteno, Illinois. Pastor Werner, any comments about anything up through verse 25 before we press on to the next section?
Just briefly again about the names. I just think that's important that the rich man was not named, but Lazarus was. Mm-hmm. And I have to believe, you know, that name means that name was remembered by God. You know, we talk about the Book of Life and our names recorded in that Book of Life. We who are the redeemed, who believe the elect, that our names are recalled. And I have to believe that's why, you know, the rich man, not given a name in the text, but the man, the beggar, is. And his name was given Lazarus, a different Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, of course. But But I think that is really important, too, that even though this man, you know, lay at the gate, the dog's licking his sores, even though from the world's perspective this guy was, you know, received nothing good, yet in God's eyes and in reality and in eternity, he received everything good because he was called by name. So I think that's important, too.
And is there anything significant about the name Lazarus here? What does do we know the meaning of the name Lazarus?
Yeah, I think it means one whom God helps. I mean, you know, that too, I think, you know, is obviously important. One whom God helps. I mean, how joyful is that? How we all want to be, you know, have that name Lazarus. I mean, we who are helped by God.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that. That's significant as well.
But and so the rich man calls out from Hades, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, give me just a little water, for I'm in anguish in this flame. But Abraham, verse 25, but Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. So Abraham responds to this request from the rich man in Hades.
He does, although the response, you know, is probably not terribly welcome, by the rich man. You know, it's a clear no. You know, being aware of what's going on and yet not being able to experience the eternal joy, it has to just add to the torment to realize that help is available, but help will not be forthcoming, has to be part of his torment.
Remember the child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. You had all the good stuff, but Lazarus... in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. So, does this mean that if you have good things in this life, that you're going to suffer and be in anguish after death?
No, I don't think that's that's not the point of this narrative. The point is not if you're rich, watch out. That's not the point at all. I think the point is very different. I mean, just because you have wealth in this world doesn't mean that you are, awaiting, eternal condemnation from the rest of the scriptures and throughout. I mean, we would certainly not buy into that.
Wealth, like despair, both can lead us away from.
Yeah, it certainly can. God. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in this case, it did for this man, this rich man. Wealth can be. It can be, a great blessing which you can use, for the kingdom and for the least of Christ's brothers and sisters, for the church. Wealth can be a blessing, but it can also, just be something that leads you away from Christ and, just becomes, something that, while you might enjoy it for a time, will lead you away from your faith and can be an obstacle. Absolutely, we've seen that. That wealth and greed, wealth just produces perhaps greed, and greed produces more greed, and suddenly you are, doing anything you can to get more, leading you away from faith in Christ.
And so, you received your good things, Lazarus, in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. There's a chasm between Hades and where Abraham is that no one can cross.
Yeah, which would fall right into our line of our thinking. I mean, I find it somewhat interesting. you know, who would want, you know, everyone in Hades would obviously, as this rich man is expressing, would desperately love to be able to cross that chasm and sit at the table with Abraham and all those who have gone before. But isn't it interesting too that Abraham says none may cross from there to us. Why would anyone want to cross from us to them? In other words, it's interesting as well.
Perhaps to have mercy on those in anguish,
and especially maybe of someone of a family member or something. Perhaps.
But what you request is not even possible. You know, besides the fact that you had all your good in your lifetime, that's pointless because there's this chasm between us, and so no one can cross over from one to the other. No one can pass from one to the other because this chasm has been fixed in order that no one may be able to cross.
You know, in this case, death was the end. I mean, once you die, comes a judgment, and that judgment is fixed, and there's no going back. The rich man in this case, had ample opportunity to receive mercy during his lifetime. He received good things, which, on the other hand, could have been a testimony of God's goodness to him, but in every case, he rejected it, and once he died, that mercy was now no longer offered. It had come to an end. He was judged. He is in Hades, and that's that.
We're studying Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31 today with the Reverend Kevin Warner from Risen Savior Lutheran Evangelical Lutheran Church in Manteno, Illinois. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. The number's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. As we're digging into Luke chapter 16 this morning, the parable or the account of the rich man and Lazarus, verse 27, and he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." So the rich man in Hades begs him to send Lazarus to his father's house, because he's got brothers that he wants to prevent from coming into this place of torment.
Yeah, and I think that this is, obviously he is feeling some sympathy for his brothers, but also such, you know, an important point too about the sufficiency of the word. You know, the word, you know, no, I mean, they have Moses and the prophets, obviously a reference, I would think, to the Old Testament, how the Old Testament is often referred to in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the word, and that word will not come back void. That word is powerful. It is, you know, effective, efficacious. That's another big lesson, I think, of this narrative, you know, the all-sufficiency of the word. That the Spirit works through the Word, and that is enough, more than enough. So for the five brothers, they have the Word. You know, if they're going to reject that, they will reject anything.
So that send him so that he may warn my five brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent." If something absurd as someone rising from the dead, as unusual as someone rising from the dead, then they'll believe, then they'll repent.
Yeah. And we, you know, we saw evidence of that not happening even during, you know, Jesus' ministry, where the other Lazarus, whom Jesus did raise from the dead, the response to his being raised from the grave was very mixed. I mean, obviously, there were some who believed, some who saw it and believed, but that became the impetus for, you know, the plotting and the planning to escalate for Jesus, that some having seen it or perhaps hearing of the other Lazarus rising from the dead, their response was quite different. I mean, and of course Jesus' resurrection is the same. I mean, when Jesus was raised from the dead, some obviously believed,
mm-hmm.
others did not. So even if someone was raised from the dead, would that have convinced the five brothers? According to Jesus, according to Abraham, doubtless it would not have. If they're not going to believe the word, they're not even going to believe if someone rises from the dead.
If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. If they don't believe the word, they're not going to believe someone is risen from the dead. And as you pointed out earlier, I think this points directly to Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the resurrection, and, you know, what did the apostles preach? They preached the resurrection, and many believed, and gratefully so, thankfully so. But there were many who did not, and we see that even in our day, too, today, tragically. We still preach the resurrection of Jesus, and, sadly, you know, we see many who turn a deaf ear to that, who simply do not believe, and how sad that is, and how important it is for us as a church to continue to reach out and to preach the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, any other thoughts about the text as we wrap up our time today?
No. I mean, I think, you know, we speak about, we spoke a good amount of time about torment and hell and how that should, you know, create fear in the hearts of especially those who do not believe yet. I think we are comforted also with the plight of Lazarus, you know, who was welcomed into paradise, you know, and how comforting that is for us who believe, and how important, again, it is for us to share that message, particularly with those who do not.
Mm. We have the comfort. We have the promise of the hope. We have that hope of Jesus' resurrection also means we will too be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
What a great hope, what a joy that it is to have that. And not only was he raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven for us, and we're going to celebrate that tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Well, Pastor Werner, thanks so much for being our guest this morning. The Reverend Kevin Werner from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Manteno, Illinois, has been our guest as we study Luke chapter 16 this morning. Thanks so much for joining us and spending some time in God's Word with us this morning, Pastor Werner.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity, Andy. I appreciated it.
Absolutely. God's blessings to you and the saints there at Risen Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Manteno, Illinois. Coming up in a little bit, we've got some sacred music. And during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer, where we will hear that sermonette on the text this morning as well. So stick around for more of His Time right after this break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news,